I start, let's have a little review. What does the green color stand for?
Ordinary time. What happens during ordinary time?
Growth.
And so it stands for growth in our lives, our spiritual lives. It's very beautiful. These we inherited from the church that came before us in this building, the Lutheran Church. And they have beautiful artwork on tapestries like this. And we have a whole bunch of them in the closet, actually, that we can bring out if we want to at some point. But actually, you can see there that there is an emblem that stands almost, it looks like somewhat like the priest or Jesus would be standing there, but it's also the bread is the head part, actually, and then the cup or the body part is the cup, right, that we're going to be celebrating communion in just a little while. It's also the river of life that is flowing by, and then the fish that is in there represents fishers of men. We are fishers of men to make disciples. So there's a lot going on in that beautiful tapestry. This one we'll save for another time, but it's the same idea. There's an altar, and the bread is being offered to the Lamb of God, and the altar on the other side is given. So we're really blessed. Thank you to the Lutherans who came to this church before us, and actually one woman still lives in the apartment building across the street. I've seen her time to time, and she puts herself and said, I used to go to your church. And now she goes elsewhere and moves to another place. But it's fun, right, to have the kind of community of people and also to know that they left behind these kind of treasures for us. Well, I'm very excited today. I really feel exuberated because of the music that was prepared today and seeing the Lee family back here today and meeting today and doing things like that. And others of you who are here today that we're all rejoicing and seeing and so happy, and I feel that the Holy Spirit is working in this room with us, Yeah. Yesterday we had a really fabulous time with some children, and there were many, many people from our church who came out to support that and just to love them, and to be there and to show that we are the body of Christ. So thank you for all those who did that. And we hope that we'll see some of the children, or all the children again soon. So the reason I said I was excited in regards to the sharing today is that it's on a subject that I have wanted to talk about for some time, and it seems that this is the time that God wants us to talk about this, okay? It's great that Don gave us a good introduction to this, because he really spoke in his testimony of what is called a worldview. Okay, so we're going to be talking about this idea of a worldview in the next 4 weeks, 5 weeks, starting today. And today is going to be an introduction to what a worldview is. I want us to say that I have been reading this wonderful short but packed book called Christian Worldview, A Student's Guide. And I've gained so much from the author for sharing very concisely but very effectively the Christian worldview. Now, that means that there are other worldviews. So we're going to get into this a little bit today. So I hope that you'll take a deep breath and go along, where the Spirit leads us and what God wants us to know. But a lot of the things that I'm bringing up here come from this book, because I think it's so good for us to have and to share and to be able to go through in this way. So first of all, everybody has a worldview. Whether we know it or not, we all have a fundamental perspective on the world that shapes the way we live. Now, there's many definitions that I've come across for what a worldview is, but this is the one that I think is the best workable definition I've come across. A worldview is a fundamental perspective, view, on the world that shapes the way we live. Each of us has a worldview, right? We may not be aware of it or not, but each of us have this. And so it's good for us to be, pricked by this so that we can be alert to the fact that we all have a worldview. What is our worldview? Another definition, just to give you an idea that there are other kinds of definitions that are also helpful. A worldview is a framework or a set of fundamental beliefs through which we view the world and our calling and our future in it. And this definition is going to be very helpful for us as we go through the Christian worldview, right? Our beliefs through which we view the world, our calling, and our future. And you'll see that as we go through this and go through this whole thing. So the purpose of this book that the author wrote was to help college students and others live wisely by thinking Christianly about daily life. I think that's an excellent reason for writing a book. He's thinking about college students. He's called to talk to college students and others to live wisely by thinking in a Christian way about daily life. You okay? So I want to share a few different real encounters of the author in this book to illustrate different worldviews that we come that he came across in everyday life. Okay. Let's just wait for a second.
So he was the only guy that came and had problems shooting himself. He bought it from a bottle.
So what I want to do is I want to give you a few encounters that the author had in this book to illustrate different worldviews. Okay? We're good?
Yes.
Amen. First one, he has a four-year-old child. Four-year-old who plays baseball, and he runs around the bases, right? You know, does everybody know baseball? The concept of baseball is you hit the ball, it's pitched to you, you hit the ball, and then you run to first base, second base, third base, home. You run to a base, and they throw the ball there. Before you reach the base, you're out. Okay? So this little boy hits the ball. It's his son. He hits the ball to his father, and the father catches it. He turns over. He throws the ball to first base. His sister, the boy's sister, is standing on the base. She catches the ball, tags the base, and he's out. The little boy, however, runs in his own direction and says to everybody, "I get to choose my own bases." His father says, "You can choose your own bases, but they're not the real bases, so you're still out." Okay. So basically he's saying, you're making up your own rules. So that's a worldview, right? I think we can relate to it. There's a lot of people in the world today, including us sometimes, who like to say, "I want to make my own rules." Okay? That's one. The second is he's shoveling snow beside his neighbor who says, I wonder when this snow is going to stop falling. It was tons and tons of snow. And he says to his neighbor, "Well, God brought it here, and only God can take it away." The neighbor sniffs, and he says,
It was a low pressure system, you know. And he says, I know, but I also happen to believe that even the weather system is under God's control. Some people feel that the snow comes from God's hand and he controls it. Other people say it's actually a low pressure system, science, you know, working there. That's the second. Third one, there's an intramural game of basketball where the star player is not playing the first round of the playoffs game because he committed to teaching a high school Bible study. He went, the coach showed up, the team was waiting, they were going to tip off, and I said, where is this player? And they encouraged him. He is teaching a high school Bible study. And he said, when we lost by 4 points, we all knew that the best player cost us a shot at the championship, but we also know that some things in life, such as honoring a ministry commitment, are even more important than sports. So that's the third example. So there are conflicts that we run into in our own life. Maybe you can think of one that you came across in your own, right? Yeah, I was actually going to ask you to maybe make a list of three that you commonly come across where you're going to say, okay, I have this view, but I'm challenged by something that's happening in society, or at least, you know, someone makes it known to me that they think differently than I do, my Christian belief, right? So here are some questions to ask ourselves in view of such conflict in the world that we're facing in our times. Number one, how can we maintain a Christ-centered perspective on contested issues of our day? Second, how can we live out a faithful Christian testimony at home, school, work, government, and in the marketplace of ideas? And it's our plan this summer, this next 5 weeks, today, the next four, to see that the answers to these questions can be helped by a consistent Christian worldview that shapes our thoughts, forms our desires, and guides our words, and motivates our actions. Okay, so what I want to do now is I want to give you some elements of worldview in general that help us to define it. Number one, often a difference between the worldview that we think we have and the one that we actually have is there. There's a difference between the worldview that we think we have and the one that we actually have. Follow me?
Yeah.
Second, worldview can change according to our circumstances. Third, how we see the world is influenced by things like family background, life experience, economic circumstances, educational pedigree, cultural context, national heritage, language, right? Physiological characteristics, psychological makeup, historical situations, all these affect our worldview. Number four, worldview is inherently religious. It reveals convictions of what we believe or we don't believe about God. And then fifth, worldview is what we think and ultimately live by. That means that whatever is ultimate or most important for us shapes our whole identity. So take a moment and think about what is your worldview? What is ultimate to you? What shapes your identity? Who are you? Proverbs 23:7 is read today. Says this, for as a man thinks in his heart, so he is. Another way of saying whatever is ultimate or most important for us shapes our whole identity is that everybody worships. There's something that we all worship. We did worship today, so we worship God, right? When we leave this place, do we worship God? And that's what Don was talking about. Is God central to our worldview everywhere? And when we come into these situations in life, it can be very shocking. We're being confronted by things that we don't anticipate. Well, I never came into this situation before. How am I supposed to know what to do? So I just go along.
I just sign up. Oh yeah, I forgot. I'm a Christian. I'm supposed to think about this. You know, I'm not just going to say, okay, I'll just agree with that. And so this is a call for us to start thinking about who we are and what we do. What shapes our identity, right, as Christians? It's a very useful thing. You know, there's been a lot of research and also an heartfelt kind of study in the Bible to discuss these things because of its importance. We believe as Christians that the only life-giving worldview is one that leads to the everlasting worship of God. Amen? We believe that the only life-giving worldview, the only ultimate, right, is for us as Christians, is one that leads to the everlasting worship of God. So do I worship the everlasting God in my life? Right? So these are things that, you know, they prick us and they start us to think. And that's what Jesus does all the time. Okay, so our worldview is one of the most important things about us, the author writes. The worldview is one of the most important things about us. If that's true, man, I have to start thinking about this. The English writer and lay theologian G.K. Chesterton is quite a funny guy to read, but also brilliant. He said this: for a landlady who is considering a new tenant, it's important to know his income, but it's more important to know his philosophy. So we got a landlady who is going to rent an apartment in her building, and she's considering a tenant. He gives her a resume, he gives her some replies for the apartment, and he writes down what his income is, so she sees that he has a good income, he can pay the rent. However, why is it more important to know his philosophy? Well, is he trustworthy and honest? Will he take care of the apartment that he's renting? Will he maintain peace in the neighborhood, or will he be having noisy parties all hours of the night? Will he pay his rent on time? I really like this example by Chesterton. It's very thought-provoking, right? Because what he does is he draws us into this, what is our philosophy? Do you ever think when you're applying for work or you're applying for, to rent a apartment or something, or buy a house or whatever it is, that people are actually looking to see what your philosophy is? But that's just an example. What we're really doing is applying it to our lives and saying, okay, so how am I perceived? Right? Well, I just heard that this is good, so I'm going to sign up for that. I want to do that. Oh, you mean I have to answer questions about myself? I mean, I didn't expect to have to do something so hard. But you want to know more about my life? You want to have references about me? You want to know? You want other people to talk about me like that? But actually, guys, that's a great way for us to be able to look at ourselves honestly before God. These are all things that help in that kind of a way. Oftentimes we look at this like, oh, I wish I didn't have to do that. But when we look at it in a very, actually a God mindset, or even just on a human mindset, there's something we can gain from the things that we're tested by. It shows us that it's not just so easy. And it's not just Christians. Not only Christians ask for these kind of things, right? They're not, it's not God only that is asking for these things. These are used by the world. They want to know who you are. But the world would have us think, oh, you just got to go along with what you hear on the news blatted out and the big noises that are coming out. And that is the news. Meanwhile, underneath all of that, we have individuals in this country who are living lives who struggle to make a living, and they matter more, actually, right, than just hearing these big philosophies that are being thrown out there and saying, this is what you have to do. If there's one that we have to do that with, it's with God, because he's Lord of the universe. He gave us our lives. But we don't just jump every time we hear something in society that is saying, this is the way it's going to be. And those are the situations that we come in with Don's sharing that we are in this and have to write a check to sign our names, that we're in this for the long haul. No matter what happens in this society, I am not going to bend and I'm not going to cave in on my faith in Jesus. The great thing is that I think that there are many times if we do stand up for what we believe in, we may just see that there are other people there that believe the same thing. And not just feel like, oh, I'm going to stand out as an outsider and I'm weird or strange because I don't believe that's true. Right. So in Philippians, the direction really for looking at this and this ultimate in our lives, the most important thing, what do you worship? What do you yourself worship? What is more important to you? Right? This whole thing has a direction. And the author pointed us in the direction of Paul writing to the Philippians and said this in Philippians chapter 1. It's my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and discernment so that you may approve what is excellent and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ. You're prepared. You're living in a way that is consistent with your worldview that Christ is the Savior and that God is the creator of the universe and that there is a future in him. Right. And so, but Paul was saying, I hope that my prayer is that your love will be abounding more and more with knowledge and discernment. Not just love, like, I love you. It's a love that is characterized by discernment and knowledge in our minds and our hearts. And then that brings us to the next verse in Romans 12:2. Therefore, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Right? So I believe that many of us, and there are statistics to prove it, are hearing things that are Christian, like today, and may even possess knowledge of the things that are Christian, but they're not living it. So you hear it, you go through it, and you can hear these kind of things, and you may even say, like, I know that, I heard that, but there's a difference between that and really believing and living your life that way and saying, okay, I'm going to stand up for this. So we are conforming to the worldview of this world instead of being transformed in the renewal of our mind through the Holy Spirit. And there's a difference between what some Christians say they believe and the way they actually behave. Now, I want to just make a comment about that because this is also thought-provoking to me. And, you know, I'm in this with you, okay? We're all in this together, right? And this is a good thing, right? This is gonna make us strong, right? To be really, you know, God is guiding us in this way so that we can rejoice and say, hey, you know, now I understand what God was saying. God is a gracious God, so if we act in a way that is not consistent with the worldview that we profess, he shows grace toward us and is forgiving. And so we receive that forgiveness, and then we start again. Right? But we want to be careful how we proceed. You don't want to, and I'm talking about myself, great picture. You know, we'll talk about it another time. But in my younger years, oh, I hate doing that. I'm going to do it. I hate doing that. I'm sorry. I'm going to do it. Over and over again, and you stumble like that. But the greatness of God and the grace of God never gives up. Right? So I need to make that clear. We're talking about these things too, and it isn't just, you know, jargon or someone talking about this concept of a world. It has to be something that is lived. And I'm hoping that will, you know, it won't just be that way. But we're living in a world where people are telling you you can't believe the same way. You have to believe my way. And I think that God wants us to be prepared for that. And to know that we can resist. That we can actually be on the offense, you know, going on the offensive and bringing Christ to people without shrinking back and without being ashamed. So in our study this summer, it's my desire that we ask ourselves the following question. Do we see ourselves and the world around us the way God sees it and sees them? Or are we viewing things from some other perspective? Has a worldly view taken over so that we are actually seeing things from their perspective instead of ours? One study showed that only a fraction of Christian men have a truly and fully Christian worldview. That bothers me, right? It doesn't make me angry. It makes me feel that, okay, I got a lot of work to do. It doesn't mention him for some reason.
I'm sure we're right there with him.
There's probably another, you know, database for that or something. I don't know. But anyway, it doesn't matter. It just shows that only a fraction of Christian men have a truly and fully Christian worldview. And what is that Christian worldview? To answer that question, we will see in the next four weeks, the following questions and address four themes that go along with these questions that help us to understand the Christian worldview. The first question, why is there anything at all? Second question, how can we know for sure? How did we get here and what are we here for anyway? Why have things gone so badly wrong? Is there any hope of fixing things? What should I do with my life? And where will it all end? And the way that this book, and actually it's just one book, but the ones that I have read all have a basic agreement in this. The four themes that we're going to look at to be able to answer those questions in the next 4 weeks are creation. Why is there anything at all? How can we know for sure? How did we get here? Where are we? What are we here for anyway? We begin with creation. The fall. Why have things gone so badly wrong? Race. Is there any hope of fixing things? What should I do with my life? And then finally, glory. Glory. Where will it all end? Where will it all end? So we have creation beginning next week. And then the week after that will be the fall, when Adam and Eve fell into sin. And then grace, Jesus Christ, and then grace, forgiving our sins, and glory, the promise of eternity. And those four things, I hope, will help us to have a good foundation to lean upon, help one another as we grow. And we are here as a body to help each other grow. Amen? I need you. I know that there's many people that say I'm the pastor, but I need you. And most of my time, I would say, I think about that. And I don't, it doesn't always come out the right that way. It doesn't come out in those words, but I think that's what it is in part. That's my view of it. You know, but my worldview is that we all need Christ. We all need Jesus, the cross. You know, we're so blessed to have Alfred and Pat and their artwork and the things that they show for us. When they send that out now on email, you can take a look. They've been providing those images for us according to the scripture and the title of the sermon every week for years, you know, and they're always coming up with things that don't only fit my idea, but also inspire me with other ideas that I didn't see that their artwork showed. And so their artwork and the minds that they're using are also in that world of seeing, okay, this is what scripture is saying. And today is a cross, right? The world, the earth, the cross. And so I think that that is the perfect way for us to then sing a song of response and then go into the Lord's Supper to celebrate the cross of Christ. That is our worldview. We see the cross before us, but what does it mean? Jesus died for our sins, right? So let's sing a song together. It's on page 10. May the mind of Christ and my Savior. Let's sing along, okay? We stand and we'll sing these verses together, and let's reflect on this. I think it also helps us to prepare ourselves for the world view.